This Sunday is the fourth Sunday after Epiphany. The Psalm of the day is Psalm 112, verses 1 through 9. The scripture readings for this Sunday are the Old Testament reading taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 58, verses 3 through 9a. The epistle is from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 16. The Holy Gospel is taken from St. Matthew, chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. Pastor Magruder is basing his sermon on the Holy Gospel reading from St. Matthew. He will read that for you now.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the fifth chapter. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. Hear what Jesus says of a believer in him. You are the salt of the earth. Notice right away that Jesus doesn't say you need to become salt or you need to find a group to help you work on your saltiness, but you are salt. It's a given, granted by Jesus himself. The disciple of Jesus is salt. Now, I'm sure you've been called many things in this life, good and bad, but salt? Why would Jesus call a believer this, and what does it mean? Well, think about what salt does. Salt seasons, it purifies, it preserves, it's useful stuff. You don't need a lot of it, just enough sprinkled on a dish to boost the taste. And just a little goes a long way. In Jesus' day, salt was used to preserve meat from spoilage. Sacrifices at the temple were sprinkled with salt, the salt of the covenant, and salt was used to disinfect wounds. The disciple of Jesus is the salt of the earth. They have been called out, set apart, and soon enough they would be sprinkled, scattered all over the earth, seasoning the world with Jesus' death and resurrection wherever they went. And you, too, are that kind of salt. Wherever God has shaken you out, your home, your community, your work, your school. There you are salt, seasoning your little corner of the world with Jesus as one of his salty, baptized believers. Like it or not, to be a disciple of Jesus makes you salt, not sugar. Sweetness is not what the kingdom calls for. Salt, biting, stinging, preserving, purifying. And your little goes a long way, longer than you realize or even imagine. And most important to remember is that your saltiness is not yours, but Christ's. He is what makes the disciple salty, just as he is the one who makes them light. His death and life at work in them are what gives the disciple that peculiar edge. And without Jesus' death and life, there is no salt in the disciple. They become salt without taste, salt that has lost its savor. Salt that is good for nothing but to be used to pave pathways and be trampled underfoot. And it's possible for salt to lose its saltiness. In Jesus' day, salt was collected from evaporating pools at the Dead Sea. It wasn't pure sodium chloride as we know salt, but a mixture of all sorts of minerals from which the sodium chloride could be leached out. And when the salt would then lose its saltiness, they'd use it like crushed rock for paving pathways. But how does a disciple lose their saltiness? By losing your focus on Jesus and fixing your eye on something other than him. And that's so easy, because our old sinful nature is so strong that we'll look just about anywhere but Jesus for encouragement or identity. And most faith-destroying, we'll start to look inside ourselves, our spiritual doing and striving, our obedience. And then before you know it, we start to try to justify ourselves, try to atone for our own sins by working harder. We start leaving out the cross and its foolishness and start looking for another way to be, you know, spiritual without being religious. But spirituality without the death and resurrection of Jesus is like salt that has lost its bite. It's worthless, fit for the garbage heap. If that's where you think you are, hear Jesus' declaration. Repent and believe him. You are salt. He also says that you are the light of the world, a city on a hill, a lamp on a stand. Jesus is the light of the world too. In fact, he is the source. The disciple is the reflection, like the moon reflecting the sun's rays. Jesus is the light, and you reflect Jesus' light into the darkness of this world. Like salt, light makes a difference. It's noticed. It's hard to hide. Like a shining city set on a hill that can be seen for miles around. Or like a lamp set on a stand that fills the whole house with light. Let your light shine before others, Jesus said, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Good works. You know, some people have told me that they think that good works are a dirty word in the Lutheran Church. And that's not true. Here is the proper place for good works. For others, for the neighbor, that person God has placed next to you. Jesus shines his light on your works, not so you can see them or so God can see them, but so your neighbor can see them. That is how faith is made visible. Faith itself is invisible. That is, you can't see my faith, and I can't see your faith. God sees your faith. Other people see your works. Keep those straight, and everything works out just fine. If people know you are a Christian, and they are curious, or even hostile about the faith, they will watch you closely. They want to see what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. They want to see what difference it makes. They need to see the light. They need to taste the saltiness. You show your faith by what you do. In the early church, it was the Christians who went to the places where the poor congregated. They fed the hungry. They clothed the naked. They did works of mercy, not to earn their salvation, but to serve their neighbor in love. And people took notice. They wanted to know more about those Christians who went out of their way to do good. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. He gets the glory, not you. Which brings us to the law and Jesus. Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. The scribes and Pharisees were experts at the religious game. If anyone nearly earned their way in, it was them. And yet Jesus says your righteousness must exceed even theirs. So Jesus is saying we'd have to get busy and better? No. Good works won't get you there, because the best of our good works are still soiled with sin, with our inherent self-centeredness. And that's where Jesus comes in. He came to fulfill the law and the prophets. He didn't come to set aside the commandments as though God changed his mind midstream. He came to fulfill them, to literally fill them up with his own perfect obedience. Jesus came as pure salt to this earth, as the light of light, the true and only light of the world. His righteousness alone exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees. His was the righteousness of God. He kept the law perfectly. He fulfilled the word of the prophets down to the last stroke of the pen. And the wonder of all wonders is that he gives that righteousness to you. This is the good news of the kingdom of God. This is the gospel, that Jesus credits you with something he did. That's how you become salt and light. Not by what you do, but by what he did and does for you. And he provided the delivery means to give you this gift. It's the gospel, the preaching of Jesus Christ and him crucified for the sins of the world. That word delivers the gift, and your forgiveness is secured. He has washed you with the washing of regeneration and renewal in the Holy Spirit. You are born again from above to be salt and light. You are baptized to be the salt of the earth. You are baptized to be the light of the world. You are given to live and love under the umbrella of God's undeserved kindness in Jesus called grace. And under that grace, you cannot fail. You cannot fail as salt of the earth unless you lose your saltiness, that is, lose your faith in Jesus' blood and righteousness. You cannot fail as the light of the world unless you hide the good works God is doing through you. But you know, at the close of the day, at the end of your life, you are covered with a righteousness not your own, a righteousness that exceeds that of even the scribes and Pharisees, the righteousness that comes as a gift through faith in Jesus. Your faith is in Jesus, not yourself. Jesus, who came to fulfill the law and the prophets, who kept every commandment down to the very least stroke of the pen. Jesus, who lived and died and rose again for you. So be who and what you are in Him. Be light, be salty, and let them see Jesus. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We confess the holy Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom, and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
In the collect for the day, let us pray.
O God, from whom come all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works, give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. Go in peace and serve the Lord.